Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into Stacking the Box podcast with Matt Verderam and Sterling Holmes. I am Sterling Holmes. Verderam, how are you?
Okay. Obviously, a very interesting, sad night of football on Monday night. So this is obviously going to be a little bit of a different show, a very different show. As DeMar Hamlin continues to fight for his life and University of Cincinnati Medical Center, as we record this live here on Tuesday. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. But yeah, once we saw what happened last night, everything stopped. No one has any idea what's going to happen, what went on. It was devastating. It was horrendous watching that live. We obviously are hoping and praying for his recovery. Hopefully that he and his family are okay. I know that his family was there. They were trying to get him into the ambulance with him to get to the hospital. It's just a horrendous situation all around, unprecedented. Nothing like this has ever happened that I can think of off the top of my head. This is just horrendous. It's the only thing you can say. I do want to give a shout out to ESPN and some of the media, especially Booger McFarland. I think that he did a great job trying to put understanding in a situation where there's no playbook, there's no idea of what's going on. You're all of a sudden now put in front of a camera and trying to explain live to people what's happening. I think Booker McFarland deserves a massive shout out, as well as Joe Buck. I think they did a nice job trying to put some sort of perspective in a situation where you really can't. So I did want to give some shout out to them, as well as the EMTs that were able to get to him swiftly on the field, because they booked it out there. Without them, we have no idea how this would have gone.
Well, I think, look, there's a million different ways to talk about this. I think the most important way to talk about it is first off, and you mentioned it just now, with the first responders who went out there, whether it be the trainers and any medical personnel out on that field. If DeMar Hamlin can pull through, those people essentially saved his life. I mean, there is no two ways. So, let's continue to pray that that's exactly how this plays out, that he walks out of that hospital and that he's got a full life ahead of him, football included or not. I mean, at this point, look, football is a complete afterthought. What happened on that field Monday, I can't stop obviously thinking about Hamlin. I also can't stop thinking about T. Higgins, who, was the player who, the Bengals receiver who ran into Hamlin on that play. And who seemed really shaken up afterwards, left the stadium with his mother. And I think it's one of those things that it's bigger than sports. Like, this is not a sports story at this point. It's a news story. It's a national news story. I would imagine, even overseas, an international news story. Like, this is how many football games have been played in the NFL's history? I mean, you're talking, tens of thousands of games. This is beyond rare. This is beyond, a once in a lifetime. This is a once in like a multi-generation thing. And yet it happens. And the world stops, the football world stops, and it should, and it must, because of the gravity of the situation, because of how rare it is. Unfortunately, in the NFL, it's not, I don't want to say it's common, but if you've watched football long enough, you've seen guys get stretchered off the field. You've seen guys, you're waiting, you hope to see a thumbs up, right? Those things, scary as they are, they happen. And in the NFL culture, it's accepted that it's going to happen a handful of times a year. What happened last night is such an abnormality and so serious and so obviously serious that I think it demands reflection and pause and a greater understanding of exactly what took place. And now, you know, football takes a complete backseat as it must. And you just hope right now that DeMar Hamlin, whether it's today, tomorrow, a week from now, whatever it is, walks out of that University of Cincinnati hospital and as a 24-year-old kid gets to live out his life. I mean, that's all that matters right now. Everything else is academic.
I do think Booker McFarland, again, said it very well. When you play football, you understand the risks of – you expect to potentially tear your ACL. You expect to have a bum ankle. Maybe even expect to have a concussion. But you don't expect to potentially have a life or death situation on the field, playing a game. That's what you don't expect. That's when it becomes a situation that makes it so much more dire. And I thought that was just such a good reason where these guys, they understand the risks of playing football.
Sure.
But they don't, it's not ever, like from what we've seen, life or death. I do think the Bengals fans also should get a shout out. They did a fantastic job. Even cheering when the Buffalo Bills players went to the locker room, it seemed like they had a understanding that this was bigger. What they were witnessing and what was unfolding was bigger than the game itself. I have a little bit of beef, I should say, with the NFL. I don't know how true it was, but obviously it was said on the broadcast that they were going to give them 5 minutes. 5 minutes to warm up and then go back out there.
Right.
I think Zach Taylor, I think Sean McDermott did a great job basically saying, no, this is not going to continue. This is not happening. We're not getting 5 minutes as you're seeing Bills players, Bengals players crying on the sideline. Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen Josh Allen, I've never seen a face like that before. I mean, that was frightening. I think the coaching staff, the players deserve a lot of credit. And I still have an issue with the NFL saying 5 minutes for a warm-up. That was just insensitive.
Yeah. I mean, look, the NFL is denying that it gave 5 minutes. You know, then obviously the coaching staff was for the Bengals and for the Bills, both coaching staff said, look, we're not going to play the game. They went back in the locker room. And of course we all know how it unfolded. The game is still under suspension. The NFL in a conference call really late, right after midnight Eastern time, said that there was never any edict that there was a 5 minute warm-up period to play the game. I don't know where it came from. I don't know if the NFL gave that order. I don't know if that was something that was initially agreed upon on the field and it was just relayed incorrectly. I mean, obviously in a moment like that, there's going to be confusion. There's going to be some chaos, you know, I've seen people say, well, the NFL has to have all these plans in place. Like, I hear that. I'm with you. Nobody in the world thinks that's going to happen. I mean, again, the league's been around for 100 years and thank God it doesn't happen. But last night it happened. And look, I'm 100% in agreement with you should have a protocol and understand. Thankfully the medical staffs did. Thankfully somebody immediately understood what was going on that medical staff. And the Bills and the Bengals, both sets of trainers, everybody was out there. Obviously, and that is an all hands on deck situation. I don't know what happened with the NFL in those moments. Did they ask for it for a 5 minute delay or warm up period and play? I don't know if they did. That's an abomination. The bottom line is there was no way those players on either team, especially the Bills, of course, but on either team, they were going to be able to play. That wasn't going to happen. I can't speak for anybody else, but you know, the initial play, I didn't see Hamlin go down. I just saw that he was on the ground. I didn't, you know, when you were just watching it live, and when they came back and showed the replay, I immediately, it was very evident something was very wrong with him. I mean, that, you know, you see guys sometimes maybe they get a concussion and they kind of get up a little bit and then they go back down on their own accord. You don't see a guy stand up and then all of a sudden just go limp. I mean, that doesn't happen. But what really, for me personally, hit home was the players' faces. It was so visible how upset they were right away. And again, in the NFL, scary as it is, I mean, guys get carted off, guys get stretched. You don't see players you know, react in the way that they reacted last night. You know, you typically see a guy go over to the cart, go over to this, you know, maybe, you know, give him a word of encouragement if they can, if they're not going to at risk of injury, maybe, you know, touch the guy, give him a high five or not, you know, just shake the hand or whatever, or hand on the chest. You don't see guys sobbing like Tre'Davious White was last night. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, on down the line. I mean, so many other players who were crushed, who were devastated. It was very obvious that something was way beyond even what you would consider a seen before NFL injury. So I think now, again, all the rest of this stuff is so academic. I mean, the bottom line is you just hope that Hamlin recovers fully, that he, as long as it takes, that he walks out of that hospital, that he's got all of his functionality and he can live a normal life. I mean, if that happens, as scary as this is, then true tragedy was averted. Anything less than that, it's obviously extremely tragic.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Damar Hamlin, obviously, he is the main story here. This is the majority of what we are trying to talk about, trying to unfold and try to almost make sense of. The NFL, though, in a general sense, this is secondary, this game, and what it means. But what does the NFL do? This is not something that's happened before. I have no idea how they handle this. What, in your best estimation, would happen from a NFL perspective when it comes to moving forward with this situation?
I mean, it's from a football perspective, I don't know what the NFL will do because it is, again, I mean, this has never happened. For the record, just for true covering all bases, one time, to my knowledge, a player has died on the field. That was Chuck Hughes. He was a wide receiver for the Detroit Lions in 1971. They were playing the Bears. They were at Tiger Stadium. He collapsed. He had a pulmonary, I believe it was a pulmonary embolism. He had passed away right on the field. Hamlin, per the Bills' statement, really early on Tuesday morning, they had to restore the heartbeat. So obviously saved his life, But I mean, this is almost unprecedented. And a game has never been suspended in NFL history for something like this. So what do you do? I mean, from a football perspective on this, you have one full week of games left before the playoffs. I don't know what you do with this game. I will say up front, I have no problem with whatever the NFL decides to do, provided it's not force these guys back out there Wednesday night, because that just seems to be the best thing for the NFL. I don't have a problem if the NFL calls it a tie. I don't have a problem if the NFL moves all the Week 18 games back a week and they just kind of slot back every single thing until you get to the Super Bowl and there's just not a bye week for the Super Bowl and they play this game next week, like in 5 days, 6 days from now. I don't have a problem if they just simply talk to the Bills and the Bengals and they kind of all together come up with a judgment of what they think is best. I think that's what the NFL should do. I think this should be a constant communication with the Bills, additionally with the Bengals, and decide, all right, look, what does everybody feel? I mean, I got to be honest. If I'm a player on the Bills, I mean, am I looking to fly back to Cincinnati where all this just happened and say, okay, guys, it's whatever it is, you know, first and 10 at midfield, and we're going to play this game right after all this, right on the same field? I mean, that seems barbaric. That seems completely out of touch. So I really wrestle with it. I think, you know, from a league standpoint, obviously the NFL is the NFL and it's a business. I'm sure they'd like to get the game in. I just don't know. The game is, it takes such an incredible backseat to this. I think you just talk to the teams and you let the teams decide. I really do. I think that's what they should do.
Yeah, it's almost a no-win situation, as Matthew Montgomery points out, for the NFL. There's nothing that they can decide that's going to alleviate what just happened. There's nothing that they can say, that they can have and try and make sense of, that is going to please everybody. Business, personal, and again, what it comes down to is making sure Hamlin is okay. I don't know what they do. I'm not going to pretend and sit here like I have a great idea. I think you're right going with the Bengals and Bills, talking directly with them. As far as seeding goes, which seems so small at this point, so inconsequential, right? Like, it does not matter. Damar Hamlin's what matters in this situation. Do they leave it as is? Just say, hey, we've never had anything happen like this before. Seeding is locked in. Or at least where the seeds, like, let's say the top, I mean, it's at top three, where there's no movement going on between the Bills, Bengals, and Chiefs. Call it a tie, let it fall where it may.
Right.
I mean, if you're a Bengals player too, this is devastating for them as well. You saw T. Higgins, you saw Joe Burrow, you saw Zach Taylor, the head coach. This is not just the Bills had an injury. This is something where if you're a player, I don't know how you go back on the field after something like that.
Well, and I know, you know, look, I used to try to work with this. So my wife is in the medical field. My best friend is a police officer who's had to administer CPR. I think one time for almost an hour straight. And you know, the reason I bring that up is I talked to both of them last night. I mean, my wife was actually watching the game with me when it happened. And I talked to my friend who's in law enforcement for about an hour after the game last night. And I asked them, you know, about CPR, because look, you know, it's something that I think people, you know, you see it on TV typically, like you see it on, you know, a movie, you know, a guy gives CPR, a woman gives CPR, and it looks very like, yeah, you know, you do a chest compression or two and everything's great. Well, in real life, like, CPR is a very visceral thing. I mean, CPR is, you know, you are pounding on that person's chest. It is, it's not a simple, you know, hey, six chest compressions and, you know, you get a heartbeat. I mean, you know, obviously, first of all, we know they were doing CPR for 9 minutes on the field. So, but this is, you know, I always think, you know, if you're a player in that spot, you know, you're not only watching, you're hearing everything going on. It's not just what you're seeing with your eyes, hearing with your ears. You know, whether that's the medical personnel, whether it's another teammate who's upset, whatever it is. I think, you know, that's the other part of this. Like, it's not just simply, you know, hey, you know, they did CPR and they put him in the ambulance and we're concerned. I mean, obviously the first thing is you're extremely concerned about your teammate and your friend and everything else, but it's also what you witnessed. And that's to your point about, like, it's also the Bengals here. I mean, everybody was on that field, and anybody who was on that field was bearing witness to what was going on. So that's why, look, you know, the conversation is going to start to include what happens here moving forward, from the less important angle of it, which is the games. And I think it's going to be, at least I shouldn't say I think it's going to be, I think it should be that the NFL, the league office, talks to these teams and says, what do you want to do? What does everybody want to do here? Do we want to cancel the game? Call it a tie? Do we want to pick the game up and play it? I mean, whatever the teams want to do, I'm good with it. Like, and I would also say this, they should also consult DeMar Hamlin's family. Like, that should be another part of this. Like, everybody should be on the same page. And if they're not, then I don't think you have a decision. That's the way I would term it.
We can try and, I don't want to say move on, but this entire show obviously is going to be about DeMar Hamlin, but trying to talk about the NFL in general. It's obviously what this show, Stack in the Box, tries to do. We're going to try and talk more about the NFL in general. But again, DeMar Hamlin is the guy who truly matters in this situation. Looking at the AFC as a whole, the standings are so, so close, so, so tight. Who ends up getting the number 7 seed in the AFC?
Yeah, I mean, so right now the teams that are fighting for the spot are Pittsburgh, Miami, New England. I'll say Pittsburgh because I don't think the Dolphins are going to win with Skylar Thompson at quarterback if he has to play. Teddy Bridgewater may play. They're not ruling that out. He's a broken finger on his throwing hand. That doesn't seem ideal. The Jets are really, really good defensively. They're not good offensively, but they're good defensively. I think the Jets are going to win the game. And then with the Patriots and the Bills, of course, I mean, there is just – there's so many – I mean, who knows? You know, is that game going to be played on time? Is it going to be – I mean, so I don't know. If the game's played, I would pick the Bills to win, although obviously everything going on right now is so – I mean – I don't know. I mean, how do you account for all the emotion? I think the Steelers will beat the Browns. So I would take Pittsburgh. But again, because of the DeMar Hamlin situation, I don't know. I mean, I don't know where the Bills are going to be mindset-wise. I mean, how could you account for it? So I'll say Pittsburgh. But obviously, it's a very open question.
Yeah, I would say Pittsburgh might have the best shot, but I also think that Miami can't be ruled out. The Jets right now, they're in a free fall. They've not looked good. I know Mike White supposed to be playing correct, supposed to be healthier after the rib injury. I think that you can make a strong case that no matter who's at quarterback for Miami, the surrounding cast is better, and I could see Miami ending up as the 7 seed. But I will say both the Jets, both Miami limping to the finish line. In the NFC, who ends up with the 7 seed?
I think in the NFC it's going to be the Packers. I just think, look, they're winning in, and I think they're going to beat Detroit at home. Detroit has not been the same team away as it has been at home, especially offensively. The Packers are just a far better team at this point than they were a month ago. They've been great in the turnover battle. They're plus nine the last four games. They've been very good running the ball. They've gotten pressure on the quarterback. So I think the Packers are just going to win. I do think Seattle will beat the Rams. I think that'll happen, which would eliminate Detroit as it is. So I really think the question is Green Bay, Seattle, does the Pack handle business? I think they do. I think Green Bay is going to get in. I don't think Green Bay is going very far in the playoffs because I think they probably get San Francisco, and I don't think that's going to end well. But the Packers will get in, and if they get in, it's nothing short of a miracle based on where they were a month ago.
Yeah, so I'm with you. It's going to come down to basically Detroit and Packers because Seattle, they're probably going to beat the Rams. It's very interesting. The Packers thought that they were done for earlier on in the season, and they've started to rattle off some wins. I believe four straight wins now. Aaron Rodgers starting to play better football. Christian Watson getting more involved, although his last game was somewhat a non-factor. I'm with you. If the Packers take care of business at home against Detroit, they're in. I don't see them and Aaron Rodgers falling against Detroit. I know Detroit's a much better team this year than in the past, right, but it still feels like one of those situations. Betting against Aaron Rodgers when they play Detroit seems like a bad bet.
Yeah. Well, you know, if the game was in Detroit, I'd feel differently, but it's in Green Bay. You know, the Lions and Jared Goff have been so different home and away. And also, that's a hornet's nest to step into. Like, the Packers know they win the game they're in. I can't see a world here where the Packers just choke that game away. I just can't. I think the Lions, the other part of it too is the game is on Sunday Night Football. If the Seahawks win, the Lions know they're done anyway. They can't do anything. So, like, what motivation now? If the Seahawks somehow lose to the Rams, then it becomes very interesting because then the Lions are going to be playing for everything. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think Seattle's going to beat the Rams. And so if Seattle wins, then, I mean, you're just – if you're Detroit, you're going through the motions. I mean, there's no reason to play, right, if you're the Lions, to play with any real urgency. So I think the Packers will win. I think they'll get in, and they'll be a very intriguing seven seed, if nothing else, because who the quarterback is.
I will say this. Do we need to start giving the Packers a little bit more credit for the fact that they were, what, 4-8 and might potentially make the playoff? The NFL is, with the addition of the 7 team, right, it makes it so much more intriguing where you're never truthfully out of it until a certain point, right, which seems obvious. But being 4-8, we all thought the Packers were done. We thought there was no shot.
Oh, no question. No question.
That the Packers were going to make it. But they rattle off some wins, and now you're sitting here saying they might actually have a shot at the 7 seed. And again, with Aaron Rodgers, you never know what's going to happen. Going to Into the Future number 3, which team has a surprise head coach opening?
So I am I'm going to take a little bit of a big swing on this, so to speak. But I believe it. I think the Rams are going to have one. Because, look, Sean McVay almost walked away after last season. And he, of course, did not. He came back. He's in his 30s. I mean, he's a really young coach. He could walk away for a couple of years if he wanted to. Step away from the game. He's got a young family. He could do some broadcast work, some analyst work if he wanted to. And every year he's going to be the guy everybody's talking about, right? Like, he's going to be every year Sean Payton, but 20 years younger. I thought it was very, very noteworthy when the reports came out a few weeks ago that offensive coordinator Liam Cohen was going to reportedly take a job at the University of Kentucky as the offensive coordinator, which is what he was doing before he took the job with the Rams. He went from the Rams to Kentucky to the Rams and now back to Kentucky. Now, maybe that means nothing, but in my experience with this stuff, it usually means something. And why would he leave being the Rams offensive coordinator for the Kentucky offensive coordinator job? Why would that, not to try to be like Brian Windhorst with the Jazz here, but like, why would that happen? Why would he do that? To me, that says maybe Sean McVay is leaving and maybe Cohen felt like he should take that job at Kentucky. It just is odd to me And considering last year and everything going on, I wouldn't be shocked if McVay stepped away based on where the Rams are, everything, you know, the picks and the cap space and all that stuff. If you're McVay, maybe you're like, you know what? I've got more money than I ever knew what I could possibly do with it. I'm going to move on. And I'm going to, you know, get a new job in 2-3 years. And, you know, he still have, whatever, you know, 25 years of being a coach if he wants it.
I would probably go with Arizona if that's a surprise. I think it's only a surprise because Cliff Kingsbury just got an extension before the season started. Arizona's not known for being the most money-friendly team.
Right.
So I think that would come as a surprise, even though they've obviously very much so underperformed. I will say the injury to Kyler Murray didn't help anything, but it's not like Cliff Kingsbury's been out here setting the world on fire even when he was healthy. So I think that's a surprise. I also think Washington. Ron Rivera has done a fine job in what has become a very difficult division, one that we didn't think was going to be this hard going into the season. But he's made some head-scratching decisions, especially going to Carson Wentz in a basically win and try and get in the playoff situation. Carson Wentz was a unmitigated disaster. I don't think the front office just looks past that. I don't know your thoughts on either one of those, but I think Ron Rivera is at least on the hot seat.
So, look, I mean, Kingsbury, I think, probably should be removed. But I don't know that that's going to happen because, like you said, Bidwell is not somebody who's who's got, you know, deep pockets. Or you could say he has deep pockets and short arms. I don't think he's going to be – I don't think he's going to be spending that ton of money. But, you know, it's hard to say because you don't know with coaching contracts, like, what's – what the language is in there. Like, yeah, you got an extension, but is that something where it's like the money's guaranteed only if you're a, you know, coach of a team as of, like, April 1st? You know, I mean, so there could be mechanisms. Rivera is an interesting one. I don't think he's going anywhere. But, you know, well, they had a rough end to the season. I mean, I don't understand why in the world they went to Carson Wentz. I don't get it. I said that before the game, and I'm certainly saying that after. Carson Wentz cannot play. He is not a starting quarterback in the NFL. We have this thing with Twitter now and social media in general where people who like to defend a certain player, and usually it's quarterback, will clip out like the guy's three best throws in a game. They go, see how great he is? Look at these throws. It's like, yep, now clip out the other 40. And in the NFL, any quarterback in the league can make two or three throws in a game where you're really impressed. It's what happens other than those two or three throws in a game. You know, if you took Joe Burrow and took his two or three best throws out of a game and you watched his film, he'd still look like a really good quarterback. That is not the case for Carson Wentz. And why they went to him, I don't know. And then on top of that, after he's abysmal in the first half, but you're still right there, why is he still in the game? I wouldn't fire Ron Rivera, but I would have a lot of questions in the exiting interviews. Let's put it that way.
Let's get into the future. Number four, is Patrick Mahomes the clear-cut MVP?
Yeah, I mean, look, we got 1 week left. Yes, I think he is. I don't know what the argument is otherwise. Like, I don't know. He's got 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns. The Chiefs are 13-3. But Jalen Hurts had a great year. Jalen Hurts missed the last two games. And frankly, I think he was an MVP before that. I don't now. I know some people have argued, well, you know, no, he is. He's more than ever because they lost those games. I get it. They scored like 34 points in the game against Dallas. And to me, you can't become more of an MVP candidate because you're hurt and you're not in the field. Like, that's like, he's not there. He's not playing. Yes. Justin Jefferson's great. Justin Jefferson's not the MVP of the league. Okay. Patrick Mahomes, to me, and the betting markets reflected, is the runaway favorite right now. I think he will be the MVP of the league for the second time in his career.
Yeah, I would agree. And I always disagree with the argument of, well, they lost the game when Jalen Hurts was out and they've been winning before him. So that clearly makes him the MVP. Right. Obviously, injuries are a part of the game and you hate when injuries happen. That's been the majority of what we're talking about during the show. But for Jalen Hurts in the MVP candidacy, you have to play. you don't all of a sudden get a boost because you're gone. That's not how this works. I love Jalen Hurts. He's probably going to get second in MVP voting, and I think that's very much deservedly so. But what Mahomes has done this season has been incredible. Once you become this elite quarterback like Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers are, you get nitpicked so much for every little thing he does. You look on Twitter, half the time people are saying he's the greatest quarterback in the world, and the other half are saying, well, look at this throw, look at this throw, look at this throw. And you watch him consistent, you go, he is the MVP. He's dragged the Chiefs to multiple victories this season, where if he was any other quarterback, I don't think they'd come away with a victory. It's Mahomes. What he's done has been spectacular. His expectations are so high, and it's starting to feel like a situation where it's the Michael Jordan, LeBron James, even Tom Brady to an extent, where it feels like they should win MVP almost every single season, but it feels like the national media is trying to give it to someone else. They're trying to anoint the next person. It's not fun when it's the same guy year in and year out. That's what it's starting to feel like with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I think a lot of times it is a little bit of like redundancy and boredom, and these awards can be narrative based too. I mean, let's be realistic about that. And that's not just in the NFL, that's in all sports. I think though, when it's this cut and dry, then let's not reinvent the wheel here. Like, I mean, by any metric, I mean, if Justin Herbert had those numbers, he'd be the unanimous MVP. Like, nobody, there wouldn't even be an argument about this, but you're right, because it's Mahomes and there's almost like fatigue with this, it becomes like, well, is he he's the MVP of the league. I don't think we've got to make it more difficult than it is. They are 13-3. I don't think anybody in the world would argue that they're 13-3 without him. And he has 40 touchdown passes and over 5,000 passing yards. Didn't need a 17th game to get there. They traded away Tyreek Hill, and it didn't matter. I mean, that ought to tell you, like, Tyreek Hill, by anybody's estimation, is a top three receiver in the league. They traded him away, and it made no difference. I mean, that's how ridiculous Mahomes has been this year. Could you trade away a top three receiver on any other team? And it just, like if I don't know, I'm trying to give an example, but like, if you took an elite team in the league, if you traded away CeeDee Lamb, Dak's not going to feel that impact. You know, I mean, I think there is absolutely a big part of that MVP argument that is, look, they traded away the most electrifying player in football, and Mahomes got better. I mean, that's where I sit.
If people used it to detract against him earlier on when he was winning, when it was Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, and folks were saying, well, it's because look at his weapons, then you have to use the same argument now when it is, okay, no, Tyreek Hill, he's the MVP. Come on now. I also dislike that in general when that was the case against him. I will never use that case against Jalen Hurts for having a good supporting cast. That's not his fault that he's using them correctly. That's not a knock against Jalen Hurts for having A.J. Brown, DeVonta Smith, and Dallas Goedert in a great offensive line. That's not his fault. He's using them correctly. What do you want him to do? Not use them? Only throw to Quez Watkins? No, that's asinine. By the way, do you think we'll ever see an MVP that's not a quarterback again? Because my estimation, we won't. MVP, we now have more information where quarterback is so much more valuable in the next position. I don't see how it's another position unless it's like a defensive end getting 30 sacks, something just completely ridiculous.
Right. I think we will. Because you have years sometimes where like nobody puts up unbelievable numbers, and then maybe there's a back who rushes like 2,000 yards, you know, or a receiver will have 2,000 yards one of these days with the 17th game. So I think we will, but I think it's got to be the right set of circumstances. And this year, when you have somebody who threw for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns, like that guy's going to be MVP of the league. I'm sorry. Like sometimes we make this stuff way too hard. You know, we really do. And you start twisting yourself into a pretzel. Like, this isn't that difficult. You know, this guy in this case, he's far and away the MVP of the league. Like, I don't know what the argument is against him. Like, to me, if you're going to argue against him, you're doing it for the sake of just being argumentative. There's really not like a clear call. Like, oh yeah, this is the reason. No, I don't see it. I really don't.
Foss had a good question regarding our potential surprise head coaching opening. He asks, how long do you think Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll are going to stay in the game? Both are 70. You know, they're getting up there in age. How old do you think they'll end up coaching until?
I mean, it's impossible. I'll say one thing, Pete Carroll, man, acts like he's 25. I mean, he is a young guy at heart for sure. I don't know. I mean, a couple more years. I mean, Belichick, I just think for Belichick, like, football is his life. I mean, that's true of every coach, but like, it's really, really, really true of him. Like, and his son's on the staff. You know, so it's like he's got that family connection there too. I think a couple more years. It's not crazy. I think at this point every year you look at Carroll and Belichick. I mean, they're the two guys that are over 70. You ask, like, it's just their last run at this thing. But I don't get the feeling that either guy's lost it. I mean, everybody thought Seattle was going to be awful this year. Seattle's been pretty competitive, 8-8. And I mean, right now, technically, sitting in a playoff spot. New England is also in a playoff spot right now, win and in week 18. I mean, it's not like these guys are losing it. They're still really good coaches. So I hear it's a good question, but I would say that I think they still have a couple of years on them.
I would say the same. And also, they're not taking a step back. These were not good rosters. Matt Verderam, you and I specifically went into the season saying Seattle and the Patriots might have two of the bottom five rosters in the NFL.
I think they do. Like, I think they do. I mean, it's really, like, it's incredible. New England doesn't have one weapon that anybody cares about. And they have no quarterback. And they're 8-8. And they are a win away from going to the playoffs. I mean, in a conference, it's really good. So, it's incredible. It's really incredible.
Would the Patriots be better off with a GM who drafts? Because with Bill Belichick, his drafting history has not been ideal in recent seasons.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Would you consider, or even with contract extensions and free agents, the Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith,
yep,
the overpay for Nelson Aguilar, as well as the wide receiver from the 49ers who I'm drawing a blank on right Kendrick Bourne. Would you consider the Patriots being better if they had a legitimate GM in place?
Yeah, absolutely. I wrote about this a month and a half ago. I wrote a little feature on it. Like, I don't think there's any question the Patriots need to hire somebody to run their player personnel. They have not drafted well for the better part of a decade. And that was covered up by the fact that they had some veterans on the team who were all-time great players, obviously led by Brady. They don't have that anymore. That's over. This team is not drafted well. It has been an abomination in drafting weapons. I mean, they cannot draft skill position players. So, yes, I think it's a huge problem. But at this point, you're going to strip power away from Belichick. That's the catch 22 of this. You're going to be the one who tells Bill Belichick, hey, Bill, listen, we think this 32-year-old, he's got a better handle on this than you do. So we're going to want you to sit down here. Good luck with that. But yes, I do think they'd be much better off. I do. I absolutely do.
Just as a heads up for everyone listening right now, Ben Heisler from BetSided will not be joining us this week. He is out this week. So no sports betting going on. So wanted to throw that out there. All right, Verderam, what's going on with you? What's happening?
I mean, family's in town. Parents came out yesterday. They'll be here for a week. So looking forward to spending some time with them. They can spend some time with the kids. And that'll be nice. That'll be good. See them a little bit. They're kind of coming out for like a late Christmas. So looking forward to just hanging out and getting a little bit of time with the family, which, you know, and you live 800 miles apart. It's not always the easiest thing to do.
Sounds like you're very excited. Sounds like you're just stoked.
I think you got to strike the right tone today. You know, I'm not going to sit here and try to be funny or be flippant. No. I mean, it's just, like literally when I was saying that, I was thinking about, you know, like Damar Hamlin and his family and like what they would want right now. I, to me, that's just so domineering on my mind. I mean, watching that last night, you know, it's, you take football games, you just watch them and you enjoy them. And I mean, my dad and I were really excited to sit down and watch that Bills Bengals game. And it went instantly from like, yeah, we're really excited for this game, to like, they can't continue this game. I mean, they cannot play this football game. But no, I'm very excited to see them. I'm very, honestly, I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun to see them. And I think we're going to go to Chicago one day and kind of go through the city. But no, it's great that they're out here. I just,
yeah,
I don't think it's the right day to just be, you know, like being, I don't know, my normal self, being vivacious with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was watching the game with my girlfriend. Actually, we were thrilled. You know, you see the early touchdown, you're sitting here and you're like, this is going to be an incredible game back and forth.
Yep.
Obviously me as a Chiefs guy, you're sitting here going, you're kind of rooting for the Bengals, but also you're just rooting for a good game between two of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. You're very thrilled to watch it. And what transpired was just devastating. You're sitting there, me and my girlfriend just sitting there, and it's about 11 p.m. on the couch, just waiting, hoping for updates, just not moving. Again, never witnessing anything like this before happening, at least in my lifetime. You mentioned Detroit Lions. I got a few messages from some older NFL watchers who were all over that saying, you know, that this also had, so I looked into that as well, but it's just terrifying, man. And you're completely right. Today's not the day. It just feels off. Talking football, talking sports, it just feels off.
Well, and I'm going to be honest with you. I really debated whether we should even do the show or not, but I felt like if we did it in the right way, it could be a little bit of a community, like a communal type thing where everybody just kind of sits there and talks, you know, whether it be, you know, you and I or in the chat. Maybe it helps somebody who's you know, just thinking about this and they just want to listen to somebody. I didn't think it would be appropriate to do the show in the normal way that we would do it. I thought that would be way out of bounds. I thought to do it in a way where we just talk through the situation. I think that's what we're paid to do. That's our jobs. And so I wanted to do my job, but I wanted to do it in a really respectful way. I hope we hit that chord. And I think, you know, look, I think that's really important. Like I'll be very straightforward. I tweeted out earlier. I don't know if you saw it or not, but you know, Skip Bayless was tweeting last night. To me, like, it's a fireball offense. It just is. It's such an embarrassing. And I've had a lot of people, and I tweeted that, and I've had a lot of people respond and be like, "Yeah, you're overreaching," which fine. Like, everybody's entitled to their opinion. Like, I thought that was such a classless way to handle it. And I don't mind calling him out for this because, you know, what the hell with it? He put it out there. It's his problem. For me, I think if you're in the sports media, you have a job to do. You can choose. And I have no problem with the people who say, look, I don't want to do it today. I get it. For me, I felt like it was the right thing to do is to do this podcast, but also to do it in a respectful way and not to do it in a way that felt like you're just trying to move on. And it is what it is. Like, it's just somebody's life. I mean, that's what this is. And that matters a hell of a lot more in a football game or the standings or who's what seed and all that stuff. Not saying that from a sports perspective, that stuff isn't important. I mean, that's why we all sit here and talk about football every week. You know, we care about the games and we care about the results. But when you have something like this, like, yeah, that stuff goes out the window. It just does until further notice. And I think that's where you leave it.
I think a day in the comments, he had a very good response, a very good post. Football will continue, but when it's appropriate. We went from entertainment to life and death in a split second. We need time to recover. I think that was very eloquent and put very, 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 very good comment right there. Yeah. This was the Stack in the Box podcast right here. Matt Verderam, I am Sterling Holmes. We think and pray for DeMar Hamlin, for his family, for the Bills, for the Bengals, for all the players, for the EMTs, for the first responders, everyone who was involved in that scary, scary situation. We hope and we're looking for a recovery timeline. We're trying to see any information that comes your way. If you want to get some information, I'm sure Matt Verderam, you'll be one of the first people to tweet anything out that you hear on your Twitter account. So we'll all be looking out. But again, for DeMar Hamlin, we're all thinking about him. This was Stack in the Box. We're out of here.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.